Bel bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. Brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved congregation, it is January 1st today, first Sunday of the new year, an opportunity to look back and evaluate and then to look forward. It's been quite a year in international politics. The war in Eastern Europe, Russia versus Ukraine. We've seen a lot of that and it still continues, even during the Christmas season, sending missiles. Tensions in the Pacific, China, US, North Korea, also sending missiles, South Korea. Sometimes people think, well, over time we should be able to figure things out and build a world that is based on peace and mutual understanding. But it's becoming more difficult, I think, to be optimistic about the future of the world. It just seems to be difficult for the nations of the world to trust each other and maintain peace. Then we have our personal lives as well. Some of us sitting here, maybe you look forward to the new year with expectation. Maybe something nice supposed to happen, like a wedding, or expecting the arrival of a new baby, or finishing school, or a new job, or something. Others here this morning may have different thoughts. Maybe you have some health issues yourself or in the family that are weighing you down. Medical procedure perhaps coming up. Or maybe some of you parents are concerned about your children, how they're doing at school or how they're doing just in general. Or maybe there is all the work that needs to be done and how will that go, and the finances or the relationships. So whatever is on your mind this morning, it will be good for us to start the new year by listening to a message that the Lord gave to his people through the prophet Isaiah. The Lord wanted his people to recognize that he had carried them in the past and that he will continue to carry them in the future as well. I think you have already noticed that the word carry is important in the text. It's mentioned several times. There are idols that are carried by people, and then there is the Lord who has carried his own people and who says, I will continue to carry. Now the thing this morning is going to be this. The Lord is telling us that there are two options for everyone. Either you carry your own burdens and your own idols, or you are carried by the Lord as you carry your burdens. There is no third option. So that's the theme for the sermon. To carry or to be carried? That's the question. And first we will see the burden of carrying idols, and second we will see the joy of being carried by the Lord. So in order to understand the message, we should first understand who are actually being addressed here. And we find that in verse 3. That's where the Lord addresses his people. He says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel." So that's an important word, obviously. Remnant of the house of Israel. The Lord addresses the house of Jacob, the people of Israel, but there is a remnant. So what's the situation? Well, this is the end of Isaiah. The people of Israel are in exile. They've gone through difficult times. Jerusalem has fallen. The temple is destroyed, no longer standing. Most of the people are in exile. They are still alive, but struggling, suffering, and the future seems very uncertain. Now, why did this happen? The Lord is straight to the point. He doesn't mince word. He tells them the way it is. Verse 8, "Remember this and stand firm, recall it to mind, you transgressors." That's what he calls them, you transgressors. And again in verse 12, "Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness." So the Lord, that's the way he addresses his people. They have been disobedient, they are rebels, they have not served him. The Lord has punished them, they are in exile. And now the Lord still comes back to them. He says, "You rebels, you transgressors, you stubborn of heart, I have a message for you." And it's a gospel message. The Lord says, "I will still carry you like I have carried you before." So, well, that's already, of course, gospel. Right there. Even before we listen to what the Lord is actually promising. He says, "You guys are transgressors, you are stubborn of heart, but I'm coming to you still with a gospel promise." And let's apply that right away, brothers and sisters, you and me, as we are sitting here. Do you acknowledge that you are a transgressor too? As you think of the year that has passed and your walk with the Lord, how has that been? Young people, old people, do you acknowledge that you have been stubborn of heart too, inclined to sin, and that you have done things that were not pleasing to the Lord? I don't think there is anyone here this morning who can say, "Well, in the past year I've been really faithful in my walk with the Lord, so I trust the Lord will bless me in the year to come, because I have kind of a right that he should do that." Rather, I assume, if we are honest, that you and I, we have to admit, my walk with the Lord has not been the way it should be. I have transgressed in many ways, thoughts and deeds and words. And I'm only here because I know the Lord is faithful, gracious, merciful, and he still speaks to us with words of wisdom and words of comfort. And that's indeed the case. The Lord knows how these people, how we, prone to wander, prone to follow the example of the nations, put their trust in idols. And the Lord wants to teach them once more how foolish it is to serve idols. And the Lord does this by using a powerful example. Now, as I told you, the people are in Babylon in exile. So the Lord uses examples from Babylon. Bel and Nebo are two gods of the Babylonians. Bel was the chief god for the Babylonians, the top god. And Nebo was supposed to be a son of Bel, the god of wisdom. They were the two top dogs in the pantheon. And what the Babylonians did, they made huge idols of these gods. Big things. Beautiful gold, bronze. And they built temples for them. And then sometimes there would be a procession and they would take Baal out of his temple and bring him to a certain place and make sacrifices and bring him back to his temple again, and they would do the same for Marduk. And the people would line the streets and they would bow down for the gods and bring their sacrifices, trusting that, okay, Baal, he is going to bless us and he'll give us the victory in our wars and everything. And Marduk, he is going to bless us, etc. And the Lord says, what will happen? And I didn't read chapter 45, but in chapter 45, the Lord says that that he is going to send Cyrus as his anointed, his instrument. Cyrus was the king of the Persians. And the Persians were going to come and destroy the Babylonian Empire. Cyrus was going to do that as the Lord's servant. So these powerful idols, these gods of Babylon, as impressive as they seem to be, it's all coming to nothing. That is what our chapter says. Baal, the top god, his idol, he bows down. Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop. They bow down together. They cannot save the burden. They themselves go into captivity. So there is going to be a war. The Persians are going to win it. And all these impressive gods of Babylon, they can't do anything to save their people who trusted them. And instead of saving them, carrying them through, these idols are going to be loaded on carts or on beasts of burden, and they just become a burden to everybody. Useless. No value at all. Why is that? Well, idols are nothing. We know that. They are the product of people. They are just pieces of wood and bronze and gold. They have no life in them. They have no intrinsic value. They cannot see. They cannot speak. They cannot do anything. And it's crazy, but that's how people are. People make idols out of a piece of wood, and then they say, I've made you, and now you're my God, and you will now bless me. It's stupid, if you think, but that's how people are. You can still see it today. You can go here in Ontario. There are temples of the Hindus and others. Don't know if you ever visited there. I sometimes take the students of the seminary to a Hindu temple, and then you can see it. You can just see it happening. You're in the temple, and here come people. They bring milk, and there is an idol there, and they pour their milk on the idol, and then they trust that the god, the idol, will give them blessing. It is foolishness, but people still do it. Now, other people here in Canada, they wouldn't do that, but they also have idols. It might be ideas or philosophies. Communism has been an idol until it collapsed. Nationalism has been an idol. Maybe still is for some people. For other people, it is inclusiveness, equality, human rights, or just freedom. As long as we have freedom, freedom will save us, or money, or affluence. So people serve idols. They cling to something. They put up something that they say, that this thing, that's going to give me my happiness. And then there is a crisis, or a war, or something that happens in your personal life, and this thing that you thought was going to make you happy, that it cannot save you, and everything falls and collapses, and it goes together. It goes down together with the one who made it. So, what a contrast if you think of it. You think of all the idols that people make, and people think that these idols will help us. And these idols become burdens that people themselves have to carry. They don't help at all. And then you hear the voice of Jesus Christ saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There you have the choice. So either you make your own idol, and that idol is going to be your burden that you have to carry yourself, or you come to the one who is actually all-powerful and who promises to carry us. And that brings us now to the heart of the message for this morning. Because the Lord, after talking about the idols, Bel and Nebo, he says, now, people, my people, listen to me. Verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth and carried from the womb. So first of all, the Lord wants his people to look back before they look forward. He says, I have carried you from the womb, even from before. If you think of it, that must be a startling claim for the people. Remember, they were in exile in Babylon. They had experienced the downfall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, taken captive, lost their possessions, their land, lived as exiles in a foreign country. They would have thought that the Lord had left them, that the Lord had rejected them, don't you think? But the Lord says, no, I haven't left you. I have actually carried you always. I have carried you, he says, from the womb, from before your birth. Now, that is a startling image for God's people, to realize that the Lord has actually carried them even through the time of punishment, and that the Lord is still carrying them until today. But that is what the Lord says. You know, brothers and sisters, that image of the Lord carrying his people is an image that you find a lot in the Bible. Exodus 19, for example, the Lord told his people, I have carried you on eagle's wings. He says, I have carried you like a father carries his child. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses tells the people of Israel, in the wilderness you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Beautiful image. I just saw as I came in the church a father carrying his son. Here, I see lots of fathers and sons. That's beautiful. And that's the image that the Lord is using. He says, I have carried you like a father carries his son. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses repeats it and he says, tells God's people, the eternal God is your dwelling place and underneath you are the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms of a God who carries his people as a man carries his son. That is a picture of safety, of protection. That's what a little boy wants. He wants to be carried by his dad. And the Lord wants his people to think of him that way. When you were traveling through the desert all those years, I was carrying you like a father carries his son. And when you were taken into exile, it was a punishment indeed, but I was still carrying you. It must have been a startling claim, as I said, for the Israelites to think of themselves as still being carried by the Lord, even as they went into exile. I wonder how it is for you. When you think of your life, and especially the last year, maybe it was easy, maybe it was difficult. Maybe there was a serious health issue in the family, or a breakdown of relationship, or struggling with loneliness, or just difficulties in the family, or in the church, or at work. We all have issues in this life. We all experience brokenness in one way or another. And now the Lord comes to you and he says, I would like you to acknowledge and to know and to acknowledge that I have carried you through, even from your birth, even from before your birth. I was there to carry you. So I hope you can apply that to your personal life. Think about your life. Think about your past year. Think about the highlights and think about the lowlights, and then realize and listen to the Word of God when he says, listen to me, my people, who have been born by me from before your birth and carried from the womb. That's what the Lord is telling you. Do you recognize it? It also applies to congregational life, by the way. Brothers, elders here, deacons, congregation. The Lord has carried you as congregation through another year. I'm not sure how the year was for you, but the Lord has carried you. Now, someone might say, I don't know, because what about the burden of my sins? My sins have been serious, and maybe they still are, and it's a heavy burden. So, what about that burden? How is that being carried? And I think you know the answer, because the gospel message is this, that the burden of our sins, the guilt of our sins, that has also been carried by someone else, taken away by the Son of God. Prophet Isaiah chapter 53, he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came and he carried the burden of our sins for us, so we can leave it at the cross. And that is why he can say, I make your burden light, my yoke is easy. So here we stand at the beginning, the end of last year, at the beginning of the new year. We look back and the Lord tells us, I've carried you through. So what about the next year? What's going to happen starting today? Verse 4, the Lord says this to his people, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. You hear the emphasis here? The Lord draws attention to himself. I. The word is repeated 6 times. I am he. I will carry you. I have made. I will bear. I will carry. I will save. The Lord is adamant. Don't look at those aisles. Don't look anywhere else. Just look at me. I'm your father. I've carried you in the past. I will carry you forward in the future. Even back to the promised land. Now, it is remarkable if you think of it. The Lord had said that he had carried them, and we saw that beautiful image of the Lord as a father who carries his little son in his arms. But here it becomes a bit odd, actually. He says, even to your old age I am he, and to your gray hairs I will carry you. So we have the picture now, not of a young toddler, but of a man, even a man with gray hairs, like these guys here. Men with gray hairs, the Lord says, I will carry you, even to your old age. Isn't that a bit awkward? Is there a man here in church, a grown-up man who wants to be carried? The natural response of any man is, I can do it myself. I can walk. I can run. I can drive myself to the clinic. I don't need any help. There is this song by Frank Sinatra. Those of my age will remember it. I did it my way. You ever heard that song? Frank Sinatra. They say that that's the most popular song, by the way, at funerals these days. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way.
That's what people like to say. I was too tall. I did it my way. Okay, so is that how you want to enter the year 2023? Do you want to stand tall and do it all and do it your own way? Or do you submit yourself to the Almighty God who created the universe and who says, I want to be your God and I want to carry you? As a choice, as I said in the beginning, that we have to make as we approach the new year. There is a choice to be made. Do you want to be like Frank Sinatra and say, I'm going to do it my way, I'll stand tall? Or do you want to be like Father Jacob, for example, the father of Joseph, who said at the end of his life, God has been my shepherd all the days of my life. So that's the question, brothers and sisters. Do you want to be carried by the Lord, or do you want to do it yourself? To be carried by the Lord, you know, it's such a wonderful and encouraging idea. It means you have freedom of the children of God. You have the Almighty God to carry you through. But, of course, it is hard to do that. It is hard to humble ourselves. We all want to be Frank Sinatras, stand tall, and not need anybody to help me. By nature, you and I, we are proud and stubborn. We want to be independent. We rather figure out our own way. We rather make our own idols and carry them around. It takes a miracle. It takes a new heart to be humble and say, Lord, I need you. I want to depend on you. And please, will you carry me through every day of the new year? So I'm asking you this morning, brothers and sisters, to apply it to your own situation, which you know yourself. The fathers here among us, heads of the families, you want the Lord to carry you through, or are you going to trust your own strength and your own wisdom? And you mothers with your children, are you going to trust your own wisdom? Or are you going to trust the Lord to carry you through? And you young people, students, are you going to trust your own energy and intelligence that you're so smart? Or are you going to be humble and go to the Lord and say, Lord, please, will you carry me? Whether you do this or not will come through in your prayer life. So you can look at your own prayer life. The person who thinks, oh, I can do it, I'm okay, then you're not going to ask the Lord to carry you. It's as simple as that. But the person who thinks, I need the Lord to help me, that person will pray. Why do we pray Lord's Day 45? Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness, which the Lord requires of us. It says, and God gives His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. So the Lord says, I will carry you. You please say in prayer, Lord, please carry me. Now, there's one last thing that I want to point out to you in the text. It's the very last line, verse 4, or even the very last word in the text. The Lord says, I will carry and I will save. You see that word? Save. Why is there the word save? Why does the Lord have to say, I will save? Well, when do people need to be saved? When there is a danger. So the implication is that the Lord is telling His people, I will carry you and I will save. So because there are going to be difficult times, there are going to be sufferings. That is how life is in a fallen world. It's the reality for the people in Babylon, the Israelites. They are suffering there. But the Lord says, I will save. I will carry you and I will save you. I will give you salvation. And at the end of the chapter, he works that out more in a beautiful way. He says in verse 13, I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. The Lord will save. That's his promise. So the same applies to us, brothers and sisters. The Lord never promised us an easy ride. He doesn't say, oh, this coming year will be easy. No, there will be burdens, there will be trials and afflictions and many kinds, and for this person this, for another person something else. The Apostle Paul, Acts 14, said, we must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. So let's be realistic about that. Do not enter the new year thinking, oh, it will be fine, rosy picture. No, there will be tribulations. But the Lord has promised us that he will carry us. And Jesus Christ has promised that he will be with us. He's walking among the lampstands. And the Holy Spirit has promised that he will dwell in us individually and in the congregation. So, let's finish. And let me ask you one last time. What is it going to be with you? You have a decision to make every day anew, but also now at the beginning of the new year. Are you going to carry, or are you going to be carried? That's the question. The message of our text is this, that those who refuse to be carried by the Lord, those who say, oh, I'll carry my own burdens, my own idols, will come to nothing. It will come to defeat. It will come to destruction. But if you trust in the Lord, and if you entrust yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, yes, I cannot do this in my own strength, but you're the Almighty God, and if you can carry me, it will be possible. Then you can sing that beautiful hymn, guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Amen.